Well, the largest coal-fired power plant in Australia is set to change hands after Origin Energy agreed to a takeover from Canadian giant Brookfield overnight. With more, Evan Lucas is the Chief Market Strategist at InvestSmart. Welcome back to RN Drive, Evan.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Well, this has been in the works for several months. We know there's been some fingerprints of some notable other Australian investors on this as well. Tell me how this agreement was reached and what are the final hurdles it sort of needs to overcome to pass the FIRB or the Foreign Investment Review Board?
Yeah, so there is a couple of extra hurdles. Don't forget the ACCC, so the competition watchdog, is still in play here. They haven't fully signed that off. But as Brookfield laid out today, and what's got them over the line, they have slightly, and it is ever so slightly, up their deal. They've also brought on some more consortium partners, and I'm not going to go through them because it's just rather boring, to tell you honest with you, Andy. It's more about what Brookfield plans to use Origin for, which is a platform to spend $20 billion in the coming decade on renewable energy of around about 14 gigawatts, using Origin's existing fleet of gas to basically start to move towards hydro storage, to start to move towards green hydrogen. All these kinds of things have certainly ticked all the boxes to finally get this done. The board agrees with it. It now looks like the Foreign Investment Board will agree with it too. The reason they've had a slight issue with it is that Brookfield, this isn't their first play into energy in Australia and in this region. They already have a very, very big infrastructure program here. They own AusNet, for those of you out there that probably would see and have a look at your meters. They own those. They acquired that business for $18 billion in 2021. Now having Origin's assets as well, there's an argument that the ACCC is making that that could be anti-competitive. But as Brookfield and their consortium partners are arguing, it's more about the national interest going forward, the ability to reach the government's targets of reducing, you know, emissions by 43% is all part and parcel of what they got off today.
We've just had the New South Wales election. The campaign saw the prospect of the country's largest coal-fired power plant, Eraring, which Origin in fact owns, potentially having its planned closure date shifted. What do we know about how likely the new owners might approach perhaps a shift in closure date?
Yeah, so they are very open about this. They are looking to close, maybe not as fast as what originally was being suggested. They do believe that you know, gas is the future of the transition period, but they also want to start looking at accelerating the decarbonisation, and they are fully aware that closing Eraring down is part and parcel with that. They are there and are investing for the long term. So they're also looking at basically redeveloping it in terms of what they want to do going forward. And that's where they're also talking about splitting out, you know, Origin's assets into a lot of different things. So they want to get hold of the infrastructure, the retail part where they sell obviously energy to you and I, but also then ramping up their renewables. They want to strip out Origin's exposure that it has to the actual exporting of gas and the exporting of greenfield materials, particularly up in Queensland. So this is all part and parcel. So New South Wales will probably therefore see Eraring close. It's just a question of when, and suggesting today it may be a little bit longer than what was originally forecast.
Let's talk inflation. This time next week, we'll know if the Reserve Bank has raised rates again. I'm certainly not the only one hanging out on that piece of information. I think it will make a big decision. In a weird way, I kind of want them to go up a little bit more just so I can lock in a fixed rate now, just so I can feel like I'm sort of avoiding the worst of it. However, that's just the weird way my brain works. There are plenty of people calling for a pause, but inflation data due out tomorrow night might throw a curveball into the mix. What are analysts expecting?
Yeah, it probably will. Not necessarily throw a curveball. It's more about it will be, unfortunately, business as usual with where inflation has been. So the expectation from analysts is that for year on year, for the month of February, this will be going down on, that we will still have seen inflation rise by between 7.3 and as high as 7.7%. The consensus is 7.6. So that is a long, long way away from the top of their target band, which is 3%. And therefore, unfortunately, the argument is still being made very clearly that inflation, although it has peaked from what it was in December where it got above 8, it is not decelerating. It is not falling at a level that would, you know, be conducive to actually suggest that the RBA could pause next Tuesday, unfortunately. Market definitely thinks a pause is on, and that's interesting to see. We know about the banking issues that are going on, but the data would suggest that the RBA's hands are, inverted commas, slightly tied, and they probably have to go again next Tuesday.
We also saw the latest retail figures released today, Evan. They're a bit flat, to say the least. Does that do anything to suggest which way next week's RBA decision will go?
They'll take it into consideration, and we've known this. I mean, the other thing to point out about the retail sales figures is that they're finally catching up to consumer confidence and where consumer confidence has been. It is absolutely in the doldrums. To put it into context, it's actually lower than what it was during the peak of the GFC. So that's how like consumer confidence, how low it is. It's actually at a record in the survey's history, running off what they do at Westpac and the Melbourne Institute. So that's where it is. So we are finally catching up to see retail sales slowing. What we expect is particularly the month that we're in now, March, and then very much, it's always a cyclical thing, April and May for all sorts of reasons are the slowest 2 months of the year in retail sales. And there's an argument to be made that they will fall off a cliff, excuse the pun, considering what that's been talked about with housing as well. That's where it is. They will take it into consideration, but it is still pretty robust. There are still signs that, you know, spending is still just under pre-COVID levels. So, you know, we've taken all this time to get back to what we were before COVID happened, and we're only just easing off from what we were seeing at the back end of 2019. So take that as you will. Unfortunately, we're still doing okay with spending, and there, it won't be enough to slow the RBA down.
2 minutes to the news, but just quickly, APRA Chairman John Lonsdale says bank deposits are likely to face tougher scrutiny. Why has he said this as we speak about tightening our belts?
Yeah, so this is to come down with what happened with the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, is around having overly concentrated levels of deposits from certain industries, certain sectors, and also just certain cohorts of people. He wants to make sure that if, you know, in this modern age, we can obviously move money much, much faster than ever before with just a click of a button. So he doesn't want the ability to see these concentrated groups all of a sudden get scared and pull monies out and therefore threaten the, you know, the stability of what deposits are. They're a very, very important part of banking. So that's his big reason why they want to make sure that they are not getting overexposed to one sector or one group of people.
We'll have to leave it there. Evan Lucas is the Chief Market Strategist at InvestSmart. Always a pleasure, Evan. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.